Hello, Freakaleaks. Welcome to a short erotic sex story written and told by Lala's Bedtime Tales. Your favorite erotic storytelling podcast host is just dropping in with a few announcements for Lala's Bedtime Tales. It's October, you guys! So that means it's dark romance October. Or, for some super smut fans out there, you know it as Dark Romtober. If you're looking for sexy Halloween tales, then check out the following Halloween erotic sex stories by Lala's Bedtime Tales. If you're into witchy feelings and vibes, you love a little hocus pocus in your life, then listen to Cursed by Love. If you are a Twilight stan and you love vampires, check out Bitten by Lust for some kinky vampire BDSM. As always, I ask that you please show me some love by rating and reviewing my podcast. As an erotic writer and storyteller, I am always interested in feedback and knowing your thoughts on the stories I share with you all. So, I have another big announcement to share with you all, but this time, it's of the erotic variety. I've published my first book on Amazon. It's Lala's Bedtime Tales Erotic Stories Volume 1. It's an anthology of all the best erotic short sex stories I've written with illustrations in a very, very sexy playlist. You can purchase the ebook on Amazon for Kindle or read it for free with your Kindle Unlimited subscription. Please check it out and leave your girl a review on it. Don't forget, if you love Lala's Bedtime Tales, go check out my fun and flirty products. I have brand t-shirts, flirty flasks, sexy shot glasses, boozy wine tumblers, and stationery. And I write custom erotic stories. Also, for all my listeners that are seeking pleasure, guess what? I got you too. Lala's Bedtime Tales store includes a pleasure shop with sex toys and accessories because pleasure is everyone's birthright. So hurry over to lalasbedtimetales.com to check out these hot items. Use code SEXUALLIBERATORS10 for 10% off your first purchase from now until mid-November. Check out the show notes for the discount code and link to Lala's Bedtime Tales pleasure shop. Remember, your greatest pleasures away. Also, if you love my erotic stories but love sex advice, dating tips, and sexual health information, then be sure to follow me on Instagram at Lala's Bedtime Tales. Every month, there will be a fun giveaway to aid all your sexy erotic needs and sexual liberation journey. Also, if you want easy access to all things sexy and Lala's Bedtime Tales, subscribe to Lala's Bedtime Tales mailing list. You can find the link in the episode notes. Lastly, be sure to subscribe to my podcast so you'll be alerted whenever there are new sexy audio erotic tales for you to listen to for your pleasure. Be sure to keep listening because you don't want to miss this year's first Halloween tale because it's super erotic and the spice is off the charts. You're going to enjoy the dicking in the supernatural erotic sex story. It's time for Lala's Bedtime Tales. Grab your wine, dim the lights, and get ready to listen to an oh-so-sexy bedtime story. I'm Lala, and I want to tell you an erotic story guaranteed to turn you on and get you hot and bothered. So, listen up. Hello, sexy listeners. Welcome to the very first episode of Spooky Season. This story is just so damn insane that I had to split it up into two parts. So this time next week, be sure to tune in for part two. Do you all believe in the ability and gifts of psychic mediums? Are there people gifted with the power to foresee future events even? How would you use the supernatural sixth sense if you were gifted with such an ability? Well, this week's main character will be faced with this challenge. I don't want to give anything away, so in the spirit of Halloween, listen up to find out whether or not having supernatural abilities is a curse or a blessing for this week's heroine. My teeth chatter from the autumn chill of the Boston night. Tonight, I am freezing my ass off at the circus's fortune teller booth. I hate the stupid fortune teller costume tonight more than any other night. It's such a fucking cliche. An authentic psychic or clairvoyant would dress like everyone else. I'm walking proof of it. I come from a long line of psychics due to my maternal lineage. For years, I thought of my abilities as deja vu or an odd coincidence until my 18th birthday when my mother shed light on her family's abilities. My jaw hit the ground, leaving me in complete shock at my mother's confession. These tidbits of information my mother shared with me had me feeling as if I'd stepped into an episode of The Supernatural. I don't give a shit how hot Dean and Sam Winchester are. I didn't want this to be my life or fate. Also, for years she gaslit me. My own fucking mother made me feel insane when I'd question her about seeing events and then them happening within a few years, months, or hell, even days. Sometimes as a psychic, I feel like I've lived my and others' lives a thousand times. Sitting here freezing my damn tits off makes me furious at my mother. Her confession actually put a strain on our relationship. The mere thought of her has me seething with resentment and wanting to punch someone. Other than discussing business about the holistic health shop I've inherited from her, I keep our conversation short, giving her limited information about my life. Hence, why I'm moonlighting as a fucking fortune teller at the damn circus. To think that I'm an heiress to one of the biggest international entertainment companies, but because I'd rather chew off my own fucking arm before asking my parents for money, I'm using my special gifts as a side hustle. The irony of the whole situation is that my father just became a co-owner of the circus, so I'm indirectly getting money from him anyway. I shiver as the chilly wind bristles over me as I watch the fallen, decaying autumn leaves dance on the pavement. A spark of electricity zaps my spine, causing me to sit up straighter and notice the man a few feet from my booth. My breath catches in my throat as I let my gaze appreciatively roam his body. This man is fucking sexy. His beauty is otherworldly. That's saying a lot from someone like me, because working at the circus, I see, meet, and greet hundreds, if not thousands, of faces daily. Many of these faces are forgettable, but his face is breathtakingly handsome. This man is so damn handsome, it's almost painful to look at him. Damn, he must have felt my stare because I was captivated by his whiskey-colored gaze at that moment. I sit up straighter, fixing my cleavage in the red bustier and ensuring my long black lace cold shoulder sleeves are perfectly situated. I feel lust course through my body, causing the bud between my thighs to throb. I quirk one eyebrow, giving him my best come hither look. It has been a while since I've had a hot hookup, so why not flirt with this gorgeous stranger in hopes that he'll fuck me into next week? Maybe, if I'm lucky, even into next year. However, fate has other plans for us. Well, at least for me anyway. My shoulders slump with annoyance as he breaks our sexually charged stare to turn in the direction of loud, rambunctious voices, holding up a hand in greeting as a group of large men horse around with him. I roll my eyes to myself, pretending to be busy with my overly elaborate fortune teller setup. I get lost in my thoughts, so I don't hear heavy footsteps approaching my booth. "Well, hello there, Miss Diamond, seeker of all fates," a deep voice booms. I look up, hoping it's the sexy stranger I spotted, but I feel agitated when my eyes clash with forest green eyes. This man isn't unpleasant looking, and he's easy on the eyes, too. He's just not the hottie I noticed a few minutes ago. I feel another spark of electricity zap my spine, making me notice the three other equally attractive men huddling around the man with the forest green eyes. My heart sputters a little when my gaze lands on the beautiful stranger. He gives me a small smile, allowing me to catch a glimpse of his bright, pearly white teeth against his full pink pout. I plaster on a fake smile and respond to the forest green-eyed man. "So, what can I do for you, gentlemen?" "I can do a tarot card reading if you're seeking the truth about a puzzling situation. Decisions can be hard to make. Allow Miss Diamond to help you make the best choice." The man's eyes peruse my body, making me feel icky when his eyes linger on the bodice of my costume that has my cleavage practically pushed to my chin. This man reeks uber douche canoe vibes, so the sooner I get this asshat out of my booth, the better. "Yes, I do have a question for you. Will you go on a date with me?" he questions. I roll my eyes at him as he closes his eyes, obnoxiously jerking his body around like a fish out of water before continuing. "Oh, wait, I'm having a vision. I see your pussy wrapped around my cock in our near future." The man and his two friends to his right begin to whoop, holler, and laugh boisterously. I wish I could say I'm shocked by him spewing this vulgar statement. Unfortunately, I'm not, because I get sexual propositions thrown at me daily since I've been working as Miss Diamond. Uncontrollably, my eyes slide to the handsome man with the whiskey-colored gaze, and he's flushed, looking appalled by his friend's behavior. I don't even need to do a tarot card reading to tell you that you may potentially be balls deep in someone's pussy in the near future, but I can assure you, it won't be mine. I boldly state, squaring my shoulders, standing tall, and confidently staring this douche canoe down. He plays with a loose piece of my raven black hair, practically bringing his face nose to nose with me, giving me the iciest glare imaginable. I hold my breath to contain my composure, even if I'm fearfully shaking on the inside, but I have a calm, unpassable demeanor on the outside. My hand shakes around my taser under the table in case he tries any funny business. He gently pins the loose piece of my hair behind my ear, sternly clenching my chin with his meaty palm and stating, "Well, Miss Diamond, I would definitely throw my inheritance at you as you swung around a pole, or I'd pay an absurd amount of money to watch you be my personal cam girl. So, everyone has a price. What's yours?" I feel my stomach bubble in disgust as the corn dog I ate earlier rises in my throat. Did this asshat really think he could just walk up and pay for me? "Dude, knock it the fuck off. Let's keep it moving. The show's about to start." A deep, smooth, baritone voice angrily bellows. I slide my eyes to the left and see the handsome stranger, fuming with steam, practically coming out of his ears with disgust from his friend's antagonization of me. My heart flutters. This man isn't just gorgeous, but he has a thing for damsels in distress. Damn, this man has to simply exist, and he's every woman's knight in shiny armor, right out of any childhood watered-down Disney fairy tale film. I'm glad you know that the only way you'd see me naked is if you were willing to pay a boatload of cash, but there aren't enough zeros in the world that would have me spend time alone with you, especially naked. So so, do you want your fucking fortune read or not? I asked firmly, whipping my face from his grasp while pushing him away so he backed the fuck out of my space. Oh, aren't you a little firecracker? You're feisty. That's why I'd be down with the swirl, the pig obnoxiously jokes. I narrow my eyes at him, and before I bat an eyelash, his friends have thrown all my fortune teller shit to the ground. They exit my booth laughing, causing me to let out a shrill shriek of frustration as I drop to the ground and begin picking up my items. Hey, I'm sorry about those assholes. My boys usually aren't that big of jackasses. Not excusing their behavior, but they had some drinks before we met up here. I'll kick his ass for mistreating you like that and saying that vile shit to you, the beautiful stranger says. I gaze up into the most beautiful amber-colored eyes that remind me of the sweetest brandy. I sit on my haunches in a stupor, shocked that he stayed behind to help me clean up those douche canoes he calls friends' mess. The stranger's beauty has left me speechless. I can only offer him a shy smile and a nod. A broad smile crosses his beautiful face as he hands me one of my tarot cards, causing our hands to gently brush. I feel a tingle at the base of my spine. A fire spreads in my belly, and a pain pierces me through the heart. I succumb to darkness, an out-of-body experience that has me free-falling into an empty abyss. I'm now sitting in my living room, watching the news report. The death of an infamous billionaire heir, a GQ-looking picture of a gorgeous man splashes across the screen, reading, Garrett Sullivan was found dead at age 28. I gasp for air, choking and coughing up a lung as I'm brought back to reality. The handsome stranger, whom I now know as Garrett, is rubbing my back, grabbing my bottle of water, holding it to my lips, and urging me to drink. I take a few small sips, trying to come to terms with the vision I just experienced. My heart continues to tap dance in my chest, gasping for air, and I strangle out, You're going to die. His head whips back in confusion, causing his eyebrows to furrow. Are you okay? I think you may have gone into shock or panic. I'm so sorry if my buddy's behavior triggered you in any way, he states, rubbing his hands down my arms and making our closeness cause my panties to soak with arousal. You have to believe me. You're going to die in the next few weeks. You'll be murdered. I don't know where or why, but you're in danger. I frantically scream at him. He looks at me quizzically for a moment. Then he throws his head back in laughter. I push him over, making him fall out of his squatting position and onto his ass as I yank myself to my feet. I begin fixing my table, simmering with rage. Man, I fucking hate people. If Mr. Garrett, Pretty Boy Sullivan, wants to go out into this world and get his ass knocked off without heeding my warning, then that's on him. But even as I think those thoughts, I feel a pang in my chest, knowing I could never, ever allow someone to be harmed. I feel him before I see him, turning around to face him. He smells heavenly of his personal musk and notes of smoky sandalwood. I feel myself flushed with sexual want as he invades my space, placing his hands on my shoulders to peer down into my face. You know, on second thought, I might need some protection. Why don't you close up here and take a ride with me on the Ferris wheel? I wouldn't want to fall off and die since my life is in danger, you know? Garrett jokes, making me cross my arms and my nostrils flare in annoyance. He completely disarms me when he widens his big, pretty brown eyes with golden flecks and tacks on a pretty please. The man's beauty is beguiling. He melts not only my panties, but also my heart. I roll my eyes, grab my purse, and hold the curtain to my booth open for him to exit so that I can lock it up for the duration of this Ferris wheel ride. Even if he wasn't taking my warning seriously, maybe a few more minutes in his company could trigger more visions, allowing me to piece together the events and keep this man out of harm's way. Also, a girl is only human, and I'm a very horny one. I'd be kidding myself to deny that I wanted just a few more minutes in this gorgeous man's company for selfish reasons. Garrett wraps his warm hand around mine, lacing our fingers as we walk towards the Ferris wheel. His hand is warm, smooth, and strong. This action causes butterfly wings to flutter in my stomach. Garrett's gesture is protective and almost possessive as he pulls me closer to his side, enveloping me in his warmth as we walk through the crowd to the Ferris wheel. He has me reliving my days as a teenager in total bliss of the horrors my special gift would bring me. I haven't held hands with someone since I was an adolescent, but my romantic life as an adult has pretty much consisted of random, anonymous, mediocre fucks lacking intimacy that would leave anyone skin hungry for the connectedness affection creates. As we stand in line for the Ferris wheel, Garrett doesn't let go of my hand, causing me to revel in this closeness and get drunk on his delicious scent. My sneaky glances to take in the beauty of every aspect of his face are met with overly confident smirks from Garrett because he definitely knows I'm checking him out on the fly. When our turn comes, the ride attendant opens the door to the cube-shaped cart with a tinted glass top and a solid, colorful metal bottom. Garrett and I step inside the ride, and I'm taken aback by the spaciousness of the cart. I feel a tug of desire shoot to my hot, wet core when Garrett snuggles in beside me, slinging his arms across my shoulder and pulling me into his warm, comfortable body. Being this close to Garrett, I no longer feel the chill in the Boston air as the ride slowly lifts us into the sky to get a breathtaking view of the city. It's beautiful, isn't it? Garrett questions with a soft whisper in my ear. His hot breath makes my nipples stand to attention beneath my tight corset top. It is. I've grown up my entire life in the city, sometimes forgetting how breathtaking and scenic it is. I respond as my body burns hot from his fingers softly stroking up and down my spine. But not as beautiful as you. You're gorgeous with your espresso brown skin, those sinful curves, and that sweet, sweet mouth of yours. Garrett breathes against the column of my neck, gently kissing the pulse point of my throat, making me squirm in delight. His compliments and praise of my body cause naughty thoughts to run rampant in my mind, making my skin break out in goosebumps. I turn to face him. Those amber eyes gaze back at me, hooded with lust. His masculine musk fills my nostrils, and being in such close proximity to him makes my body throb with sexual need. Just one glance at his sexy pout has my body screaming for a taste, and I'm a breath away from succumbing to kissing him. I pull the collar of his flannel shirt, tugging him into me, closing the small gap between us. I slam his mouth down on mine, igniting a fire in me and causing me to moan in pleasure. Garrett forces his tongue into my mouth, taking control of the kiss and setting the pace, kissing me so hard and passionately that I'm a panting mess when he pulls away. I notice his lips are swollen with passion, and his eyes have darkened with desire. His pink tongue darts out, sliding over the tops of my breasts as he buries his face in the valley between my breasts. I let out a needy groan, digging my nails into the silky strands of his dark, shaggy hair. He tugs my breasts out of the bodice, cupping them in his hands. His thumbs raise the tight, erect, overly sensitive butt. I can feel his caress on my breast, all the way in my hot, wet center. Desire pulls between my thighs as he torturously sucks on my right nipple while massaging the left between his thumb and index fingers. I feel my orgasm building as Garrett brings me to the cusp of pleasure with his mouth and hands. This gorgeous man may cause me to have a nipple orgasm for the first time in my life. But then, he abruptly stops, leaving me frustratingly on edge, feeling like I'm about to combust. "Why the fuck did you stop?" I yelled, tugging on my nipples and rubbing my thighs together, trying to get the friction to take care of the desire causing my clitoris to throb. Garrett chuckles, his hand traveling down my body with fiery ribbons of needs following his touch. His fingers brush my inner thighs, causing me to buck my center towards him, desperately wanting, no, needing a sexual release. I feel like I've died and gone to heaven when Garrett's fingers caress my swollen clitoris. He swirls my wetness around, rubbing my clitoris with his thumb as he inserts two fingers inside of me, pumping relentlessly in and out of me, causing me to writhe around his fingers. I combust, feeling lightheaded, my pussy clamping down on his fingers, convulsing around him as I chase my climax. My body slumps against the side of the cart, feeling limp. When I gain enough strength to open my eyes, I watch the sexiest side of Garrett sucking and licking his fingers clean on my arousal as if he just finished the best meal of his life. I adjust my clothes as the Ferris wheel descends. Garrett helps me out of the cart on wobbly legs that feel like jelly. He pulls me to the side, gently kissing my lips. I taste my sweet, musky arousal. "Garrett, you have to believe me," I beg in one last ditch effort to try to save this beautiful man's life. He lightly caresses my lips, making me want to purr like a satisfied kitten. "How? I mean, I guess everyone knows who I am," Garrett responds quizzically to my plea. I feel my facial expression fill with confusion about why my words would confuse him. But then it dawns on me. He never introduced himself. "It's from the vision. I know who you are because I saw a vision." I whimper, running my arms up and down the front of his flannel. He gives me a small chuckle and then asks, "Go on a date with me, beautiful. I saw you checking me out while waiting for my buddies to show up." I stare into his beautiful eyes, and before I know it, I nod. I couldn't let this man walk back into the world to meet his demise without trying to help him. Hopefully, the more time I spend around him will make me have more visions. Then, I can stop this murder. Also, he gave me the best orgasm of my life. I mean, a few more wouldn't hurt, as long as I didn't fall in love with a potentially dying man. I've gone on a few amazing dates with Garrett Sullivan. He's a great, sweet, funny, and charming man. Yet, I don't think there's a spark there. Or I may just be so stressed out that I haven't been able to trigger my clairvoyance to help me piece together the puzzle to help save his damn life and thoroughly digest my feelings for him. I sit in my fortune teller booth, royally pissed off because no matter how much I touch him or his personal belongings, I can't see any more details about his death. So I've started distancing myself from him. Even if there may be some sexual chemistry, my heart and conscience couldn't bear it if he were to die. and I couldn't stop it. But boy, is Garrett persistent in getting his rocks off with me. It's like the night he finger fucked me on the Ferris wheel has him salivating for more. The thought of one of Boston's most eligible bachelors smitten with me does have me gloating to myself a little bit. On one of our fancy dinner dates, I stole the handkerchief from the breast pocket of his designer suit. I look around, hold it up to my nose, and breathe in his natural musk and smoky sandalwood scent. It makes my body flush with desire, and my nipples begin to pebble beneath this ridiculous costume. I close my eyes, trying to concentrate, ignoring the sexual urges and throbbing between my thighs his scent elicits from my body. Damn it, focus. I need to trigger a fucking vision. Ugh! If you're missing me, just pick up your damn phone. Don't steal and sniff my belongings. That just makes you fucking weird, Miss Diamond. A loud baritone voice booms, causing me to practically jump out of my skin. I open my eyes to see Garrett standing a few feet away from the fortune teller booth with a shit-eating grin on his face. He looks undeniably sexy, in a designer dark blue suit that hugs his muscular frame. Garrett must have come straight from the office. I'm not ghosting you. I lie, trying to fix my gaze on anything but him. He approaches my table, crowding my space and softly grasping my chin to make me hold his stare. The contact makes my clitoris pulse for him, and a hungry ache between my thighs has me rubbing my legs together to get rid of the want of his dick thrusting inside me that I've craved since our Ferris wheel ride. I peer into his eyes and see nothing but hunger smoldering back at me. I see you're not immune to this fire between us. You try to act lukewarm, but your body language tells me you're aching for my dick. Garrett says unbashful. His head descends as he captures my mouth in a deep, bruising kiss. We hungrily fight for control, teeth clashing, and he pulls away, biting my lip, almost drawing blood. His face is flushed, and his breathing is ragged as he yanks me out of my seat. I try to rip myself free from his grip, but he holds my wrist firmly. I stumble slightly behind him, trying to keep up with his strides as he maneuvers through the dispersing circus crowd. Very few people are still on the grounds as the night's last show is taking place. Where are we going? I anxiously bite out as Garrett continues dragging me through the circus grounds until we come to an abrupt stop in front of the creepy circus funhouse. Here, Garrett exclaims gleefully, throwing his hands in the air like he discovered something amazing, and it's a secret hideaway he wants to show me. I feel an ice cold chill run down my spine, feeling fear churn in my stomach as I stare at the creepy clown mouth entrance. Why here? I fearfully ask, trying to take a step away. We need a fun place to talk, so I rented it out, Garrett says, causing me to walk at him. God, this man has more money than sense. All he had to do was look at any glamour or Cosmo to know a date at the circus, even with a drop-dead gorgeous billionaire, was no romantic date idea. People do say curiosity killed the cat. This man was still a stranger to me, but there was just something so charismatic and hypnotizing about Garrett. So, when he reaches for my hand, I freely give it to him, letting him lead me into the circus funhouse like a potential lamb being led to slaughter. I hold on to Garrett's muscular forearm for dear life because I've never been a fan of horror movies or haunted houses. We walk through a tube with an optical illusion of red and white stripes that makes the walkway to the funhouse appear longer. I'm more concerned about the creaking of the metal bridge we walk across that feels like it'll give at any moment. I swallow the lump of fear in my throat as I dig my nails even harder into Garrett. The walkway puts us into a dark room with flickering black lights, highlighting the clowns dropping from the ceiling and swinging back and forth. Last one to the end is the winner. And the loser has to do whatever the fuck the winner wants. Garrett shouts, pressing a hard kiss to my mouth and slapping me hard on the ass. I let out a scream of frustration as Garrett runs through the swinging clowns fearlessly and with the leet precision of a boxer dodging blows. Garrett is a fucking immature prick. I feel my heart rate accelerate as I clumsily maneuver through the same scary clown obstacle course. I let out a slow, deep breath, refusing to succumb to my fear as I walk through the silver plastic curtain you'd expect to see at a butcher shop. I enter a room of funhouse mirrors with flickering lights. I stand, confused, in a maze of mirrors, unsure which direction to take to get out of this funhouse hell. I see a reflection in a mirror that isn't my own, and that causes me to turn around and chase after it. Well, fuck. I am not the only one in this room. I feel my pulse rate as I try to find my way out, running smack dab into a mirror. I turn around in a circle, panicking as I walk in a different direction. But this time, I hear loud male laughter. Garrett, is that you? I scream with a trembling voice. I scream out again. This isn't funny. Garrett, show yourself. I look side to side, trying to stay attuned to my surroundings, backing up until I hit a hard wall of what feels like muscles. I let out a loud shriek as a giant hand wraps around my middle. I panic when I'm immersed in complete darkness. I struggle against the person holding me, realizing I've been blindfolded. Baby, relax. It's me. Garrett raps against my ear as he bites into my shoulder, running his hand up my thigh, toying with the seam of my thong. I'm panting for him, that if he touches me between my thighs, he'll feel a wet spot on the cotton of my panties. He kisses the side of my neck, leaving a trail of desire, causing my nipples to tighten from his touch. He shoves two fingers into my hot, soaking, wet pussy, making me cry out as his thumb strokes my clitoris. Garrett causes me to shiver as his tongue licks the shell of my ear. Damn, this is so hot, especially since my body is already pumping with adrenaline. I can't see anything, so all I can do is focus on the pleasure that Garrett creates for me with his mouth and fingers. I feel my climax building. His fingers hit my G-spot, and before I know it, I go off like a fucking rocket seeing stars behind the blindfold. Garrett tears my cotton panties off my body in an eager frenzy. I hear the opening of a condom wrapper, then I'm picked off the ground and slammed against the cold glass of a mirror. Garrett thrusts me hard down onto his big, erect dick. I slide down effortlessly because my thighs and pussy are coated in my earlier release. Garrett anchors me to his body by wrapping my legs firmly around his hips. He grinds into me roughly, fucking me with all his might, making sure to hit that little spot of nerves guaranteed to shoot me into another climax. He pounds into my slick pussy like this is the last fuck he'll ever have in his life. The air smells like a mixture of sex, Garrett's tantalizing scent, and sweat. You can only hear the slapping of our skin, his grunts and my moans of pleasure. I slide around on the mirror from the sweat coating my body as Garrett fucks me harder and harder. My breasts fall out of my bustier top from the pounding that Garrett's giving me. I've never come so hard in my life as the moment that Garrett bucks into me hard with his tongue, doing crazy tricks on my overly sensitive nipples. I scream out one orgasm after the other as he hits my sweetest, most pleasurable spot until he bucks into me one last time, growling out his sexual release. I feel his hot breath in my ear as we collapse to the ground to catch our breath. Garrett taking the brunt of the fall. I pull the blindfold off my eyes, which causes me to see swirls of blue and silver circles as my eyes try to adjust to the flickering lights. That was... I whisper between harsh breaths, my mind unable to choose a word to best describe the explosive sex. I lean down, kissing the side of Garrett's mouth. Yeah, I know, baby. Garrett whispers, gently cupping my cheek. He turns his head to plant multiple soft kisses on my cheeks, nose, and lips. He looks me dead in the eyes and says, I love a chase as much as the next man, especially if it leads to amazing sex like what we've just experienced. But let's make this just an every once in a while thing. I like you a lot, Miss Diamond. Let's see where this goes, Garrett pleads with me, captivating me with those gorgeous golden eyes. I can't help but nod my head, giving in to his demands. Well, shit. I may have to consult my mother because I have to do everything in my power to ensure this beautiful, fun man that gives me multiple fucking orgasms doesn't die anytime soon. Garrett feeds me sashimi off his chopsticks while we dine at one of Boston's most exclusive and expensive sushi houses. Garrett is the most amazing man I've ever dated. He's entertaining. And have I mentioned that he's the sexiest man you can imagine? Not to mention, he's observant, kind, and a total sweetheart. I take a long drink of my Mai Tai, taking in our beautiful scenic view of the city. I feel a heated gaze, so I turn to witness Garrett's sexually charged glare. Tonight, I pulled out one of my hottest fucking outfits because Garrett and I have a little wager going of who can last the longest out tonight before having to call for the check so we can make it to at least the car to fuck. I refuse to fuck in a public restroom. I don't give a shit how lovely the venue may be. I lick my lips, watching Garrett's face flush as he drinks in my scantily clad body. I'm wearing an oxblood buttery leather halter dress with a neckline so plunging it leaves nothing to the imagination while barely containing my full C-cup tits. Right under my tits is a corsetry boning making my hourglass shape more prominent. It ties in the middle, showing off some skin where the ties create a corset pattern. The tight bondage dress hits mid-thigh with a slit up the back that sits just below my derriere, allowing me enough ease to walk. I've painted my lips with my signature oxblood color and left my long raven black hair loose around my shoulders. I kicked off my stilettos because these red bottoms were definitely made for sitting, and I've been running my bare feet up and down Garrett's suited covered calf to tease him. Baby, you didn't come to play fair tonight. How hungry are you? Garrett questions, popping a piece of sushi into his beautiful mouth. I bite my lip, giving him a sultry smile before responding. Giving up so fast, handsome? I don't know. I think I may be very, very hungry. I pick up an edamame with my chopsticks, slowly sucking the soybeans out of the pod, closing my eyes as I swallow, then slowly licking the sea salt off my palate. I give a little giggle, watching Garrett uncomfortably shift in his seat, probably readjusting his hard dick in his slacks. I mean, you're the fucking sexiest woman in the restaurant. Your tits are one breath away from popping out, and you pass me your panties at a traffic light on our way to the restaurant. I was going to say fuck it and turn the car around, but I wanted all the other fuckers in this restaurant to be jealous of me. Garrett answers, tipping his old-fashioned tumbler towards me before taking a drink. I feel myself flush with pleasure as I ask, jealous? Of your beauty, Miss Diamond. You're hot, baby. The smooth espresso brown skin, those big tits, that sexy pout. I can't wait to watch you hoover my dick tonight. Garrett responds, causing me to choke on the edamame I was eating due to his crass comment. Garrett! I reprimand him loudly, feeling embarrassment creep up my neck. Garrett, A sweet female voice echoes mine as a drop-dead gorgeous model-esque redhead approaches our table. Garrett's entire demeanor changes, his back going ramrod straight and his knuckles widen from how hard his fist clenches his glass. In fact, I'm fucking shocked the old-fashioned tumbler doesn't shatter with how angry and tight he fists the glass. When the redhead finally approaches the table, the temperature in the room shifts, sending a chill down my spine. "Hey, Molly," Garrett bites out irritably, standing to do that double annoying rich people kiss on the cheeks. Molly, the gorgeous redhead, holds on to the lapels of Garrett's suit jacket a little too long for my liking, making me want to claw the bitch's eyes out. "If I had known you'd be coming, I would have canceled my girls' night and joined you for dinner, honey. This isn't our usual spot for appearances, but they have good food and drinks," Molly exclaims, brushing a lock of hair off of Garrett's forehead. I twirl my Mai Tai glass around skeptically, watching their exchange, confused yet intrigued. "That's because I had company tonight, Molly. Actually, let me introduce you to beautiful ladies," Garrett says, gesturing towards me. I give Molly a small smile to match hers, a fake delight as she extends her hand to me as Garrett introduces us. I take her slender hand in mine, and as we shake, I feel a tingle at the base of my spine. A fire spreads in my belly, and a pain pierces me through the heart. I succumb to darkness, another out-of-body experience that has me free-falling into an empty abyss. I'm transported into a grandiose, stark white living room with a breathtaking view of Boston's downtown. Molly and Garrett are arguing at the window while she pokes him hard multiple times in the chest. "What about me, Garrett? Do you really not give a fuck about my feelings? I won't let you break off our engagement that fucking easy." "You better watch your back, you jackass," Molly yells, slapping Garrett hard across the face before storming out of the room. "Hey, baby, hey. Are you okay?" Garrett asks me as Molly fans me with a linen napkin. I gasp for air, choking and violently coughing as I find myself back in the restaurant. I'm seated on Garrett's lap. He has me take small sips of water from the glass our waiter has brought. "You and Molly were engaged?" I sputtered, sitting up straight looking between them. A big smile widens across the pretty redhead's perfect face. Her crystal blue eyes light up in a venomous pleasure. I feel Garrett's body stiffen beneath me as I wait for a response. Lucky for me, Molly breaks the silence. "Oh, sweetie, there's no was engaged in past tense. I'm his fiance." I stare at her in horror, feeling like my body has been doused in ice water. "Molly," Garrett shouts as I shoot out of his lap, tossing the end of my Mai Tai on him. Molly erupts in laughter at the scene. "You two-timing jackass," I screech, snatching my jacket and purse off the chair and making a beeline for the restaurant exit. "Hey, Miss Diamond, it's not what you think," Garrett screams after me, grabbing my arm as I exit the restaurant. "Then, what the fuck is it, jackass?" I ask, turning around to face a flustered Garrett lacking the aloof mask of confidence he always wears. Good. I'm fucking glad this has knocked his ass off kilter because his explanation better be fucking genius. I warned you, it's an insane tale for spooky season. So, listeners, I wonder what Garrett's explanation could be, and if it's genuinely a good one. I guess we'll just have to wait and see now, won't we? Be sure to tune in this time next week to see what happens, or I may even release it earlier than what you expect, so be sure to hit that follow button. If you can't wait, then go listen to part 2 right now on my Patreon. Until next week, sexies.
in sexy bedtime stories from Lala's Bedtime. Thanks for tuning in to this week's erotic tale. For more erotic stories, sex tips, love advice, and sexual education, check out lalasbedtimetales.com and add me on Instagram for more erotic and sensual content at Lala's Bedtime Tales. Please comment and share your fave sexy bedtime stories with erotica enthusiasts like you and me. Ta-ta until next time, sexies.